Will you pray with me? O holy God, inspire us, enter us, give us your Spirit. For we know that unless your Spirit guide us, unless your Spirit speak through us, all we say, all we do is in vain. And yet, empowered by your Spirit, you will help us create a new world, a world of your vision and hope. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Don't you just love a good dramatic story? Ones of villains and heroes, exemplary good and horrific evil. The world divided down simple lines of them and us. It almost seems 2 Samuel invites us to such a world, but does it really? There is more possible here than meets the initial eye as we ponder the complexities of relationships, the confusion of roles, the moral compass gone awry, the shadows and light found within the reality of the human condition. At first glance, we can barely recognize this David in this story. Is this the same David, the eighth son of Jesse from the tribe of Judah, who was called forth to take five simple, smooth stones and using his slingshot to actually slay the evil Goliath with armor and completely full of all of the power of the world? Is this the same David that then took the harp and played songs of love, of grace, of hope, of the great power of God as the most powerful force in the universe? Is this the same David that fell in love with Jonathan, the son of King Saul, who said to Jonathan, "Our love is the greatest of loves because it is not based on selfishness"? Is this the same David that then was later anointed king after Saul had been deposed, believing in the possibility of unity, of connection? Is this the same David that drew together the tribes of Israel, that created a nation with a vision of hope for one people? Is this the same David? Is this the same David that made a covenant to God and said, "This is an everlasting covenant of love and of hope and of peace and of commitment, the greatest of loves"? Oh, how the mighty have fallen. This is the same David. And yet his shadow had grown. The shadow that dwells within all of us, I'm afraid, but the shadow that needs to be confronted, brought forward, integrated into the realities of our lives, instead of walled off somewhere else. You see, I think David took the five smooth stones and instead he created a wall that went within his heart, that walled off the empathy, the compassion, the understanding for his people, for Uriah, for Bathsheba. The wall that said, "No, I'm in power now. I can do whatever I want." The wall that did not allow for the understanding of the people that he was actually to serve. You see, this wall can insulate us. It insulated him, he thought, from all of these things. And yet, we must come to terms with our own moral reality. The things that would call us away when we do not listen to the word of God. would insulate us from the realities, and as the wall grows, we are cut off from what it is that God would offer to us, a new law, a new realm, a new way of seeing things. You see, it's understandable and yet not understandable how this could happen. Understandable because in the human condition, in our ego frailty, we are tempted to do the things that we would not ordinarily do. And David, in his getting lost, said, I'm in charge to do what I want. The consequences, oh, those can be easily arranged. After all, I'm the king. The victims, they're hardly noticeable. They're just those others. This is the delusion of power when it is taken in the wrong direction. But God will not be mocked. Instead, Nathan comes forward to talk to David. Nathan is a court prophet. So he was in the court of David, a court prophet, which is one thing. It meant he got a voice in David's court, but it also meant David had all the power to cut off his head, the power to banish him into the unknown world, the power. But you see the difference here. Nathan did not let that wall grow within him. He did not wall off God's word and listen only to David and that power. He listened to God, who said, you must confront evil publicly. You must bring the word of God to David, who has gone astray. So, Nathan's no dummy. He brings this little wonderful story, one that probably we've all heard a million times, but it's pretty interesting. He goes, you know, in the kingdom, there was this very wealthy man who had all kinds of flocks, all kinds of things at his disposal. And there was this one poor man over here who had one little ewe lamb. He had raised the ewe lamb from the smallest and raised him as his own, held him in his bosom, was the joy and the comfort of his life. And then the rich man, as was the custom, when someone came to visit, you would have a feast. And he said, well, I know I've got to have a feast, that's customary, but I don't want to use one of my lambs. He's got one over there. I think I'll go get that one. And he does. He has it brought, slain, and eaten. When David hears this little story, he is outraged. He says, what? This rich man deserves to die. He must pay back fourfold. How dare he? And then Nathan, interestingly enough, says it. Thou art the man. Thou art the man. David falls off his wall of privilege. David recognizes what he has done and says, I have sinned against the Lord. So the one thing that is different in the story, he stopped hiding behind his privilege. He came face to face with his reality. He didn't even hide behind the classic, she made me do it. Did you see her? How she was dressed? She made me do it. He didn't even hide behind that. He took responsibility for his actions. And he knew these actions would have consequences. And yet, he also knew God was a loving God. He would not die, but he would have to live with this reality. It's interesting, it glimpses, we can glimpse into our own time when the moral compass, if you will, at times seems to be spinning like a top. rather than having a true north, where taking responsibility for one's actions seems almost like an anomaly compared to the reality of what a true leader, grounded in God, would be willing to do. It's amazing what can happen. And yet we listen to the story. We must understand it's a cautionary tale. Cautionary because here's the warning. That very shadow dwelling in David is a shadow that dwells in all of us in the human condition. It is a part of our necessity to understand and hear from all and not get caught up in our own selfish decisions and ways. There's a great poem by Yehudi Amichai, is his name, and he says, from the place where we are right, from the place where we are right, spring flowers will never grow. The place where we are right is hard and trampled like a yard. But doubts and loves dig up our world like a mold, a plow, and a whisper will be heard where the ruined house once stood. A whisper of God's mercy, God's love, coming from the place of our own ruined house, if you will. See, the one thing David did is what he did is reflected in the Shaker hymn that we probably all know. "'Tis a gift to be simple." David was willing to turn. "'Tis a gift to be simple. "'Tis a gift to be free. "'Tis a gift to come down where we ought to be. And when we find ourselves in the place just right, we'll be in the land of love and delight. And when true simplicity is gained, to bow, to bend, we shan't be ashamed to turn. To turn will be our delight, till by turning and turning, we come round right. David turned and came round to another place where he saw something else. I practice what I call the Humpty Dumpty School of Spiritual Direction and Spiritual Growth. I don't know if you're familiar with it. I know you've heard nursery rhyme. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall, and Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses, all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. The king's horses, the king's men, the empire will not save us from our own ego's fall and brokenness. God alone comes to give us the new life. And the empires, be it the Holy Roman Empire, be it other empires all through the centuries, none of them, if we look to them to save us, none of those king's horses, none of those king's men are going to put us together again. God will do that. It is who God is, because God loves us with an everlasting love that is far beyond our own imaginations. It's amazing. And breaking down the walls, or falling off the walls, whatever it be, what we must realize that when a wall is laid on its side, it becomes a bridge. A wall laid on its side, a bridge over which we can cross. I love Robert Frost in his great poem, Mending Walls. And one little excerpt says, something there is that doesn't love a wall, that wants it down. And as he's walking with his neighbor, he says, we come to a place where we don't need the wall. He is all pine, I am apple orchard.
My apple trees will never get across to eat his pines, I tell him. Before I build a wall, I'd like to know what I am walling in and walling out. What are we walling in? What are we walling out every time we build the wall? We must notice what it is we are about. You see, restorative justice is the key here to be. And restorative justice is the way in which Nelson Mandela brought a whole way of living into South Africa. It was about listening. Listening to what had happened. Listening so that we can dismantle our own self-justifications that would ignore those whose lives we have hurt without regard for creating victims, for causing pain, for empowering systems that do not allow for access to a just or an equitable life. We need to hear those who our privilege has harmed. The shepherd whose lamb I took away, Bathsheba in her victimhood, where I must listen to the Me Too movement people who are asking to be heard when they have been silenced and treated with brute force, or the Black Lives Matter movement asking me for a listening ear just to hear the ways the access to justice and equitable life has been blocked. The access to dignity has been taken away, to listen, so that together we build together the new life. God's authority from the future reaching back to us here and now in a new realm. We're living out in this new realm. What we see is that when we have given those who hunger something to eat, those who are thirsty something to drink, the naked we have given clothing, the stranger we welcomed in, the sick we came to comfort, the prisoner we went and dared and risked visiting. Jesus said, when you've done this to the least of these, my brothers, my sisters, in my creation, you've done it to me. The new realm, a new way of being. A whole new way where we learn to serve God's will and not only our own. Moving together, we must lay down each stone on the bridge, lay down with a listening heart, with a compassionate act, with a loving spirit. And then moving together, we all come together across the bridge, where we can declare the poor are rich, the weak are strong, and the foolish ones are wise.